Rules, Money Rules, Money.
Welcome to the Money Rules Podcast, where we tackle your personal financial matters with leading financial advisors. Your host, Boitumelo Ntsoko.
High net worth individuals and their families face unique challenges, from navigating intergenerational succession planning to optimizing tax efficiency and managing offshore investments. To look at these and other issues facing high net worths and how they can overcome them is Alka Brink, a wealth advisor at PSG Wealth. Welcome, Alka.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we start, please don't forget to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, share this podcast with your friends, and download our episodes for easy listening on the go. Alka, let's start with a broad overview. What are some of the main concerns that high net worth individuals and their families have about managing their wealth?
Thank you, Timmy. Yes, that's such an important topic to address with a more complicated portfolio. So there's a few challenges that typically come with a higher net worth individual. And the two main concerns we try to address is taxation effects in the portfolio. So it doesn't really help if you have a wonderfully performing portfolio and you're getting double-digit returns, but your tax structuring is hurting you. So that's quite important. And then secondly, of course, taking care of your family. And this goes into a lot of detail in terms of your estate planning and the setup here to ensure that there is continuity in your estate and that you typically protect your loved ones should something happen to you.
Financial immigration is a topic that often comes up. What should these individuals consider when planning to immigrate from South Africa?
This is quite an interesting topic, and I think including your wealth advisor as well as a tax advisor when making this decision is quite important, because what I've found with many of my clients that are expats and they live abroad now is that they still have some assets left in South Africa, or they have not 100% decided where they want to retire. So it's just a decision you need to consider very well before financially immigrating, should you decide maybe I don't like Australia or the UAE and you want to come and retire in South Africa. It's typically quite an expensive and admin-heavy process to go through if you end up coming back. I do think it's important to do an holistic analysis on your portfolio if you are moving, or let's say you are completely now based in another country and you don't have the intention of coming back and you have no more assets left in South Africa, yes, then it's definitely a route to consider. There are certain requirements in terms of investment products that normally apply to even if you are following a immigration route or a residency route. You need to be out of the country for a few years to be able to access, for example, retirement funds that are structured locally, etc. But I would definitely recommend, even if you are not sure where you want to be at, but you're living an expat life, to just make sure that you're optimizing your worldwide portfolio. So optimizing what is in South Africa. And it doesn't always make sense to move all of your South African portfolios abroad just because of a tax effect. You can still have a really good performing South African portfolio, which has offshore exposure, and optimize your direct offshore life and basically have the best of both worlds.
Alka, intergenerational wealth transfer is a critical aspect of financial planning. What challenges do these families face in this regard, and how can advisors assist them?
Yeah, so this is quite important. I think there's a wonderful opportunity around generational transfer as well when it comes to building wealth and taking care of our loved ones and creating wealth. So there are various ways to do this, and the one component is your investment portfolio, which I will expand a little bit on now. And the second is actually done with life cover. So life cover is not always just to, for example, replace any debt outstanding or to replace income in a household. It can also actually be used very well for wealth creation for next generations and younger generations. When we structure our investment products, it's quite important to do the estate planning side of it well, and of course the ownership well of it. So it's not always just tied to death, but knowing who's the owner of this product to be able to transfer this wealth. So one topic, for example, that we have expanded on a lot is if you were to, for example, start tax-free investment for young children, and we can fill up this investment and optimize the investment over time and get that child to not touch it at the age of 18, you can actually create a significant portfolio over time that has absolutely no tax implications for this individual. where that can be a complete game changer in terms of that child, for example, doesn't need a retirement fund one day because they have 100 million rand in a tax-free investment that's not taxable. So creating wealth in different ways that comes with educating your younger generation as well. But together with that, also choosing appropriate vehicles. And here we typically try to use endowments or retirement funds or sinking funds where we know we can nominate beneficiaries on the product. So this is a nice way to take care of estate planning, but also to ensure that you don't have the risks of a portfolio that either winds up in your estate and it's difficult to manage from there, or the taxation effect of this portfolio is just not ideal in terms of transferring to another human being. So here we typically always need to plan for donations tax. We need to plan for transfer costs. Should it be a property, for example, that you want to transfer? So typically with these type of portfolios and high net worth individuals, it's always important to start setting up the right vehicles and the right planning earlier on, because the problem just becomes bigger and bigger and more costly. So sometimes it's not so easy moving either investments around in terms of tax implications, but also moving assets around. So I would definitely recommend from the start, as our portfolios start growing, before you even become the high net worth individual, to know that you are consulting with a wealth advisor and a tax advisor in terms of your structuring to avoid costly restructures later in life.
Let's talk about fee aggregation. How does this benefit high net worth families in preserving their wealth?
This is actually a wonderful benefit that's becoming more and more popular on most wealth platforms. And a lot of investors I find are not so aware of it, is that a lot of the large investment platforms actually have a family pricing benefit. And the family pricing benefit for this is now typically for your administration fee, but in many cases also for your advisory fee. This pools everything in your family and entities are included as well. So let's say, for example, you have your personal portfolio, your spouse has a portfolio, you have a trust or a company owning some investments, and for example, you have grandchildren. You can link everyone in this direct family and get the benefit of a lower overall administration fee on the holistic portfolio, which can, of course, have a significant effect in the long run. If you, as a high net worth individual, for example, link your very low admin fee on your fund value with your grandchild's small investment, you can automatically restructure that fee completely and almost let that individual pay a third of the fee that they maybe would have.
Elke, how do high net worths typically handle offshore investments and the associated tax implications?
To me, this is a topic that I find a lot of high net worths are still choosing the wrong vehicles, and it's something we struggle to deal with in later on, because the larger your investment becomes in the direct offshore space, the more difficult it is to move it in terms of capital gains tax implications, of course. But when we structure offshore investments, it's extremely important to choose the right vehicle when you do so. And that normally means you want to be wary of using a normal accessible investment in the offshore space. And the reason for that is a few different things, actually, but it has a lot to do with estate planning. So when you pass away and you have, for example, anything that is American listed equity exposure or UK listed, there is an implication that is referred to as inheritance tax, which is 40% in the offshore space. So your individual that is the beneficiary has the risk of paying this inheritance tax implication and also having the capital gains tax reaction on the portfolio when these funds now disinvest. So it can be on a high net worth portfolio, almost 60% of tax if we look at the implications for the individual. Where if you can use a more tax efficient and estate planning efficient vehicle, for example, a sinking fund or a typical endowment structure in the offshore space, we can firstly ensure that you can nominate a beneficiary so you don't have the risk of inheritance taxes or CITES or probate taxes in other countries. So you have control over your investment. It's not bound to that jurisdiction's rules. And secondly, you can nominate a beneficiary. So you can ensure that this continuity just goes on. Basically, the beneficiary just takes over the investment. And we can cap tax at 12%. So how this is typically done in the offshore space is that essentially income tax is capped at 30%. And that has an effect of capital gains tax at 12%. But everything in the offshore space is seen on these type of products as a capital gain. So you would not be exposed to more than 12%. So that takes a 60% tax implication to a 12% on a direct offshore portfolio and the certainty that your beneficiaries will just take over this portfolio. So when we look at any direct accessible funds, and I think this is always a large concern for any high net worth to ensure that their family will get the funds, is that if it's completely accessible, unfortunately, these funds will go to your estate. And not only out of a taxation point of view that there are large tax implications on their estate, it's also a time thing. And unfortunately, in South Africa, winding up an estate is something that takes a lot of time. At the moment, we are dealing with a lot of delays and hiccups with the master's office. So if everything goes well, it takes a year. Unfortunately, many individuals who have been struggling more than 3 years to wind up an estate, so you just can't access the funds. So you typically want to plan your estate and your continuity in your family that it doesn't have to go through that route where possible.
Alka, tax efficiency is also a significant concern for the local investments. How can they optimize their investment portfolios from a tax perspective?
I think optimizing is always important in terms of a few different things. There's never just one silver bullet, but I think choosing the optimal structures, and that will differ based on your personal needs. If there are, for example, small children, what exactly should happen should you pass away and these children need to be taken care of, where it's maybe slightly different if your children are over the age of 18, are both spouses working or not? So there's a few different variables in terms of what advice would be given, but typically the investment vehicles and the structures are very important. So do we use a trust? Do we use a company structure or both? Do we use retirement products or these sinking funds that I've advised you? And with most of these type of individuals, you would typically have all of them. So all of these structures will play a different role in your planning, and where you optimize what becomes quite important. So not being exposed to just direct open investments, but choosing optimal vehicle. Together with that, optimizing each and every vehicle with your annual taxation benefits. So there are many annual benefits that a lot of investors don't utilize that you can optimize just what you're already doing by optimizing taxation effects. And then additional planning that can be done that is very underutilized in South Africa, something that I have written about quite often, is the benefit of Article 10C, where you essentially over-contribute to a retirement fund earlier on in life. And you can use this again when you retire to offset this over-contribution and essentially offset your income tax, which can be a large benefit. The larger the high net worth individual, the larger your tax benefit. So you can essentially have a retirement where you're not really liable for income tax if you can optimize this benefit. You also have the benefit that you are taking these funds out of your estate. So a retirement fund goes to your family directly, and you know that they will receive the funds quite quickly and quite efficiently. So that also has a great effect in terms of optimizing the different vehicles, optimizing a tax-free investment, optimizing, let's say, for example, there are family structures in terms of trusts or companies. This is always very nice in terms of ensuring, should someone pass away, that, again, we address the estate planning implications, that there are other trustees, other ownerships in the entity. So the continuity is just very efficient.
Okay, you mentioned trusts quite a few times, and they are a popular tool for wealth management, but they come with their own set of challenges. How have recent changes affected the use of trusts for these families?
So trust definitely has a place in a portfolio, and I think it's important to understand them very well. So they're definitely not what they used to be in terms of a lot of taxation benefits. They can be very costly, and it's important to know if it's really suitable for you. I think with newer products like the sinking fund or endowment structures we refer to, as well as retirement funds, any product where you can nominate a beneficiary, you are essentially in a big way taking over the role of what the trust was. So you're ensuring that your loved one will receive this investment. A trust has a very good place in terms of what the concept of a trust is, or the main purpose is to protect the beneficiary. So to ensure that there's planning for them. So if, for example, there are minor children and we need to take care of them should something happen, if there is a special needs child or a special needs individual that needs to be taken care of maybe forever, these trusts typically play a very efficient role. It also helps a lot with accessible type of money to have a type of trust for the reason that there's more than one owner. So this investment does not have to go to your estate should something happen to you, and it just goes to the remaining trustees. We also have the benefit of something you and I actually spoke about earlier in the year, tax harvesting, where if there is a tax implication within this investment, let's say, for example, we want to sell off shares or we want to move strategy and there's a capital gains tax reaction, we can now essentially use previous losses or optimize the other individuals in the trust structure. Let's say there are five beneficiaries or five individuals involved in the trust. We essentially now have five different annual allowances we can use on the tax effect. So it softens the tax implication in that sense. So there's definitely a rule. I would always be careful for a trust in terms of always just understanding the moment you set up a trust, you are essentially stepping away from your asset. You are not the owner anymore. The trustees are, and they have the power to make decisions. So it's just always very important to make sure that you are using this vehicle for the right reasons and choosing the right people. You don't want to step away from your asset and you can't make decisions anymore. Just something to be careful of.
Just staying with the theme of estate planning, illiquidity at the time of death can also be a concern. How can these individuals ensure their loved ones have quick access to funds?
That's very important. I would recommend any individual, especially so much more so in the high net worth space, to do an extensive estate planning exercise or analysis with your advisor. Firstly, to ensure that there are not unnecessary assets in the estate that can be optimized better or structured better, but ensuring that your estate is efficient. So if you, for example, don't have enough cash flow or liquidity in the estate, your beneficiaries are going to sit with a problem. So then they need to realize assets somewhere to be able to pay the estate duty payable. So in principle, on a smaller estate, estate duty is normally 20%. Anything over, I think, a 30 million estate is 25%. So there are different intervals also of estate duty payable on larger estates. So you typically want to know exactly what your estate looks like in terms of what will happen at that day. And is there sufficient provision for taxation payable? We don't want to, for example, be forced to sell a property or cash out an investment that was not planned to do so to be able to create liquidity in an estate planning exercise. So this forms part of your wealth planning. And of course, your estate is also something that moves around a lot. So if you are planning your estate at the age of 40, this investment is going to significantly grow for the next 20 years. So it's something I would also do continuously and ensuring the appropriate planning for where your estate is at. And liquidity can be done in different ways. It can be done with the actual investments that's available. It can also be done with life cover. And you get amazing products, for example, last survivor benefits or these type of structures that aren't extremely expensive, but it creates life cover for the planning of this estate duty commitment that you will have coming up.
Alka, just as we wrap up, what lessons can ordinary investors learn from how high net worth individuals manage their money that we can also incorporate into our financial planning?
Yeah, I think it's an important lesson for any investor, even the individual that's just starting to save today. And I think some of the main lessons, and as a summary, which I think applies to any investor, is that you need to plan correctly from the start, from your first rand that you start saving, and have the optimal vehicles in place. If you optimize all your different vehicles, which will be a combination of different products and different structures, from day one, you are essentially optimizing many different tax benefits over many years. So I'll ensure that my structures are correct from day one, and you add them on as your portfolio starts expanding. So that I will ensure, and I will ensure that I am optimizing the taxation benefits very well. Apart from the portfolio, I think the investment portfolio and the strategy, of course, is extremely important. And you need to ensure that you are investing correctly and your asset allocation is correct. But the taxation effects and almost over-optimizing your tax benefits that are possible for any individual will make a very big difference. If you can get the balance right of earning proper returns with a well-diversified strategy and optimizing tax, then you're in the perfect place to be.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode, Alka.
Thank you so much for your time.
That was Alka Brink, who is a wealth advisor at PSG Wealth. If you enjoyed the show, please follow us for the latest episodes, share the podcast with your friends, and download our episodes.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Money Rules Podcast. To listen to more, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.